across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, September 11th, 2024, 55 days until Election Day. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or through our social media video feeds. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Has there been a murder like that on live TV since Lee Harvey Oswald? Too soon? No, it's 1963. Can't be too soon. We will talk about the debate. Greg Bach is in Waukesha as well, and I don't know who's got what for a reaction to this, but the one that I would like to share comes from somebody on Twitter who says, it's so funny how for weeks everyone telegraphed she's going to bait him, and her team was like, we're going to bait him, and he managed to act normal for like 3 minutes, and then she said one thing about his crowd size, and it was like feeding a gremlin after midnight, and Trump was off to the races. Grandpa was cranky. And Vice President Kamala Harris had a pretty good debate performance.
Yeah.
Mr. Bach, you agree?
I do agree. I think, you know, there were moments where she got rattled by some things and there was some tripping over the words, but you know, you're in front of that many people. I'm not going to be like, oh, she could have done better. I think she did well with what she was given. And I don't know if anyone's really talked about this, but there was a report saying that Trump didn't really even prep for this debate.
He didn't prep. He is so, it sounds like a word you can't use on radio, but you can. He was so cocksure of himself.
That's what I was going to say. Oh, yeah.
He was. Oh, he was just, because he won in 2016. And let's again remember why he won in 2016. Not because he was better. Yeah. He won because Hillary Clinton kicked his butt in those debates, mm-hmm. and so many people stayed home. And I think enough people have learned that lesson by now, but in his mind, that still like proves. He said in the spin room last night, it was his best debate performance ever, which we're burying the lead here. He went into the spin room. When you have to go into the spin room to spin your own debate performance, you know it wasn't very good.
Well, that's just sort of indicative of this whole campaign. I mean, for those who don't know, for those who aren't like in the know about this whole process, the spin room is where you have surrogates, especially you want to pack the room with people who might be like from the other side too, like Democrats who love you and, you know, mm-hmm. and they speak on your behalf based on certain things you say. But he does it because he has to. I mean, he was at the convention every night. Do you know, Pat, of any surrogates that are out there on the campaign trail stumping for him or J.D. Vance?
No, none who aren't right-wing commentators, you know, or conspiracy theorists or things like that.
Yeah, this is unheard of.
It is, and he didn't prep. And here's the degree to which he didn't prep. Well, Kamala Harris was talking about policy, things I want to do for you, the middle class, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to play the very first clip that I set up for you here, where you're going to hear Lindsay Davis say to Trump about a health care plan, basically saying, you've been saying for 9 years, you're going to have this big, beautiful plan to replace Obamacare. So she lays out the red carpet. She opens the door wide. This is Donald Trump's time to finally announce his big, beautiful plan, and it goes like this.
Yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan. I'm not president right now. But if we come up with something, I would only change
if we come up with something, we can leave it go at that. Concepts of a plan. I have concepts of a plan. I'm not president right now. You were.
Yeah.
His closing statement says how come she hasn't done the things that she wanted to do over the past 3.5 years? Again, most candidates could say that. Not him, because he was the president. So it's like, why didn't you do the things that you said you were going to do? There was no prep there whatsoever.
Would you ever walk into a job interview and they say, well, what would you do in this situation? Well, I have concepts of a plan. Well, what are they? Well, I don't have the job yet. So I'm not going to tell you. I don't have the job. So, like, why are you being ridiculous right now? I mean, come on now. Give me the job. I'll tell you.
We'll go over more of that. Taylor Swift finally makes the endorsement everybody expected. We'll talk about that. Also in this week's Climate Check report, Melissa Baldoff will be here with another dimension of the election. Your vote could play a role, literally, in whether China works alongside the U.S. to reduce carbon emissions or matches Trump's climate policy of drill, baby, drill with no regard for the consequences. So that's coming up in just about 20 minutes or so. In our second hour, we will talk to Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro, who attended a roundtable for women in Wauwatosa about reproductive health care rights, including one rather pointed complaint about a congressman from southeast Wisconsin dismissing her concerns about IVF. And we have a special guest in our second hour, Congressman Mark Pocan. He's a Democrat, but we're going to start him with a simple question. Why are House Republicans once again playing games with a potential government shutdown at the end of this month? This time over non-citizen voting, something that's already part of the law and is not an actual problem. But you wouldn't know that from listening to Donald Trump over the debate. I mean, honest to God, if Donald Trump had been asked, why did the Packers lose in Sao Paulo? He would somehow the answer would have involved the southern border and migrants eating cats and dogs, because every answer came back to those brown people or those crime people or those people eating pets, which isn't happening.
I can't believe he said that.
I don't know that he thought that he was going to either, but he took the bait. He took the bait on crowd size. He took the bait on abortion and again told the lie about ninth-month abortions. And he tried so hard to resist the question about why did you question whether Kamala Harris is black or not. He tried so hard in the beginning to resist, and then he couldn't help himself. He took the bait, and he started giving that horribly racist uncle answer about that as well. He just failed by every measure along the way.
But, Pat, it was his best debate ever. It was the biggest, best... Oh, grandest that's right. Debate.
Ah, yes, that's what he said. The bus stop temperatures at 6 a.m. go like this. It's 56 here in Chippewa Falls, 57 in Hayward, 59 in Park Falls. Wausau's at 57, Green Bay 65, La Crosse 64, Wisconsin Rapids 57, Oshkosh 65, Madison 66. Greg's down in Waukesha where it is 59 degrees right now. You can join the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Call or text us at that number. Call or text us through the Civic Media app or leave a comment on social media as well. And Greg, I don't know that you can completely hear it in my voice yet, and this hasn't happened for a few years now, but every few years, I think this happens to all of us, you get the double dose head cold where you just get over being sick and then you realize you're getting all stuffed up and headachy, and it's distinct. It's definitely a different virus or whatever.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, come on. That's how things are in the Kreitlow household today. Like, really? We're doing this again?
But, well, you sound great.
Well, thank you. I'm warning you ahead of time. In case. As the day goes on, you go, wow, what? Do you have like some nasal spray you could take or something? But I'm very cognizant of how I sound this morning because of a box that arrived on my doorstep yesterday. A great big box. Great big box.
The biggest box.
The biggest box. All kinds of packaging. And inside was a tiny little thumb drive. A tiny little thumb drive. It's one of those places where you send your camcorder tapes and your home movies away and they digitize it.
Yeah.
I don't want to give them a commercial there, but there's a few of those services out there. And I've had these tapes. I've had two kinds of tapes. I've had these Hi-8 tapes from TV13 from all the years that I worked and anchored there. And they don't use those machines anymore there. Everything's digital. And I have all these camcorder tapes that I never turned into VHS or DVD. And so there was no way to watch these movies. And so I took this company up on some kind of a trial thing, and I sent them some of the tapes, some from TV, some from the camcorder, and got the thumb drive back yesterday in this great big box. And Sherry and I in Christmas Vacation where Chevy Chase is up in the attic and he finds the old home movies from Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And he starts to get a little tear. That was us watching It was the day I got the camcorder. It was the first tape, and it was, oh, look what Pat's got. It's like, it was my 33rd birthday, and I'd gotten this brand new camcorder. This was 1997.
Wow.
And my daughters, that's the first thing you see, are my daughters, 6 and 8, going, Dad, look at that camcorder. And the one daughter is now 33 herself. Aww. So, I mean, it was just a huge time warp, but it is really something how, when you do listen back or watch back at yourself, how much your voice changes over the years. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, did I really sound like that? Did I really look like that? Like, yep, you did. Camera doesn't lie. This is where we are now. So I was going to wait and wait till I could like show you a snippet of it. But you've already seen my college TV tape.
Yeah, I have. It's on YouTube, everybody.
Nothing's going to beat that laugh. So I'm never going to touch that one. So anyway, that's part of the reason I'm a little cognizant of sound and appearance today is that I had quite the time warp moment yesterday. On the Up North News daily newsletter, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. It is September 11th, of course, a day that we remember all those whom we lost on September 11th, 2001, in the terror attacks of that terrible day. This is a day of service to honor the memory of those we lost. And so there is an article in there on ways that you could perform some public service on this day or any day. And also ways to thank your local firefighters. So many firefighters were lost that day in the World Trade Center. And there's just not a bad time to thank firefighters for their service. And there are some very simple ways, non-intrusive ways that you can do that. And there is a link in the newsletter to today's story freshly up on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, about the ways that Donald Trump lied about abortion again last night. So again, go look for the website, upnorthnewswi.com, sign up for the newsletter, read the article, and understand where Trump is purposefully not telling the truth. Brewers opened up a 3-game series last night in San Francisco. William Contreras had 3 hits. Garrett Mitchell had a home run. The Brewers beat the Giants 3-2. Colin Ray will pitch tonight, 8:45 first pitch. 8:10 is the pregame on WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls. Again, late games tonight and tomorrow in San Francisco, and again Friday night in Arizona for the Brewers' West Coast trip. All right, more clips from the debate coming up next. First, wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this beautiful Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The days of just keeping time, of hanging around in sleepy towns forever.
Harry Connick Jr. has a birthday today. That's off the Sleepless in Seattle soundtrack. More in today's history lesson in just about 30 minutes. All right, let's play some clips from the debate in case you missed it or want to relive some of the moments here. One of the first ones, these aren't necessarily in order of the debate, but of things I thought you might like to hear. This was Vice President Kamala Harris responding to Trump, who loved to talk about crime and migrants and crime and cities and crime and anything. And Kamala Harris had to remind everybody only one person on the stage is a convicted criminal.
President Trump, thank you. I'll let you respond, Vice President Harris.
Well, I think this is so rich. Coming from someone who has been prosecuted for national security crimes, economic crimes, election interference, has been found liable for sexual assault, and his next big court appearance is in November at his own criminal sentencing. And let's be clear where each person stands on the issue of what is important about respect for the rule of law and respect for law enforcement. The former vice president called for defunding federal law enforcement, 45,000 agents, get this, on the day after he was arraigned on 34 felony counts. So let's talk about what is important in this race. It is important that we move forward, that we turn the page on this same old tired rhetoric and address the needs of the American people, address what we need to do about the housing shortage, which I have a plan for, address what we must do to support our small businesses, address bringing down the price of groceries. But frankly, the American people are exhausted with this same old tired playbook. Vice
President. He is exhausting, and him winning means we get to watch him pardon everybody from January 6th and basically relive all of that again instead of moving forward. Trump, we thought for a moment there over the weekend, was maybe finally moving forward. He said in an interview, we all heard it, saying, you know, I lost by a whisker. Apparently that was news to him last night when David Muir asked about it.
Mr. President, for 3.5 years after you lost the 2020 election, you repeatedly falsely claimed that you won, many times saying you won in a landslide. In the past couple of weeks leading up to this debate, you have said, quote, you lost by a whisker, that you, quote, didn't quite make it, that you came up a little bit short. Are you now acknowledging that you lost in 2020?
No, I don't acknowledge that at all.
But
I said that sarcastically. You know that. And we said, oh, we lost by a whisker. That was.
No. Again. It's like he thinks we don't have videotape or audio tape. He said what he said, and then it was news to him that he said that. So I guess I would, based on the previous debate, I guess I would expect to see a lot of articles now on Trump's mental acuity and his memory. But he's continuing to claim that he won. Here's a quick clip of him invoking Wisconsin as part of it.
If you look at the facts, and I'd love to have you, you'll do a special on it. I'll show you Georgia, and I'll show you Wisconsin, and I'll show you Pennsylvania, and I'll show you. We have so many facts and statistics.
So many facts and statistics. The moderators pointed out you were dozens and dozens and dozens of court cases in all of these states, including Wisconsin. And he said they were thrown down in technicalities. They were most certainly not. An examination of the law showed that there were plenty of cases, and again, plenty of cases where he lost, and plenty of cases where he had the opportunity to prove. He had the opportunity to prove some kind of fraud or some kind of funny business that he keeps talking about, and he has never, 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 ever proved it. But back to Pennsylvania. He mentioned Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin. Kamala Harris did a great job of invoking Pennsylvania here in this response about Ukraine. And pointing out how quickly Donald Trump would fold like a, you know, like a cheap suit. He'd collapse like a house of cards to Putin pressure on the war in Ukraine, which would then put Russian troops on the border with Poland. Kamala Harris was ready with that.
Otherwise, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv with his eyes on the rest of Europe, starting with Poland. And why don't you tell the 800,000 Polish Americans right here in Pennsylvania how quickly you would give up for the sake of favor and what you think is a friendship with what is known to be a dictator who would eat you for lunch?
Vice President Harris.
There was such a smirk on his face as she was saying that because he knew it was true. I mean, it's acting at this point where he was given the opportunity to cite world leaders that he claims love and support him. And the only one he name checked was Viktor Orban, the near dictator of Hungary, who has abolished so much in terms of economic freedom and press freedom and things like that, the very direction Trump wants to go in. And that was the only person he could cite. But Trump, he can't help himself. As I alluded to earlier in one of the stranger moments of the debate, Trump talks about or responds to why he questioned Kamala Harris's race. And he almost was able to just back away from it. But then when pressed, he took the bait.
And Trump, thank you. I want to move on now to race and politics in this country. Mr. President, you recently said of Vice President Harris, quote, I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. I want to ask a bigger picture question here tonight. Why do you believe it's appropriate to weigh in on the racial identity of your opponent?
I don't, and I don't care. I don't care what she is. I don't care. You make a big deal out of something. I couldn't care less. Whatever she wants to be is okay with me.
But those were your words, so I'm asking.
I don't know. I mean, all I can say is I read where she was not black, that she put out, and I'll say that. And then I read that she was black, and that's okay. Either one was okay with me. That's up to her.
You could catch that, Greg, right? Where he's like, I shouldn't go any further, but nope, I got to.
She's fine. She's great. I don't mind, but she's, yep. She says she's not black. I mean, just, dude.
I know. If he'd have stuck to things like inflation and whatever core issues that Kamala Harris actually kept coming back to. But again, Trump was too busy saying that, you know, Putin was right, you know, when it came to things in Europe. And Kamala Harris again called him out on how the only leaders he admires and the only ones who want him to win are dictators and autocrats.
Well known that Donald Trump is weak and wrong on national security and foreign policy. It is well known that he admires dictators, wants to be a dictator on day one, according to himself. It is well known that he said of Putin that he can do whatever the hell he wants and go into Ukraine. It is well known that he said when Russia went into Ukraine, it was brilliant. It is well known he exchanged love letters with Kim Jong-un. And it is absolutely well known that these dictators and autocrats are rooting for you to be president again because they're so clear. They can manipulate you with flattery and favors. And that is why so many military leaders who you have worked with have told me you are a disgrace. That is why we understand that we have to have a president who is not consistent.
They laugh at him. Again, it's the weird thing. He points out, or she points out, people are laughing at him and that he's not fit for leadership. It is Wednesday morning. Melissa Baldoff is here with our weekly climate check. Let's do the disclaimer first that this is recorded just prior to Tuesday night's debate. And so if there were any major headlines on climate change effects, legislation, and so forth, you would have heard it earlier and or again a little bit later on. But we wanted to focus today's segment specifically on what you, the Wisconsin voter, could do in this election that might actually move China when it comes to climate. I know it sounds weird, but follow along. You'll see where I'm going. Melissa Baldoff, good morning.
Hello.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here. And let's talk a bit about the prompt for this was a news story that basically said the U.S. election looms over climate talks with China. And it really, it's a simple premise. If Kamala Harris wins, the U.S. will still be working to tackle climate change and will urge China to keep making progress too. And if Trump wins, it's drill, baby, drill everywhere. It's weird to see that direct a correlation down to the Wisconsin voter, but I don't think those two dots are too far apart to connect. Melissa, what do you think?
I agree. Yeah. When you first, you know, flagged this for me for discussion, I thought it was very, very interesting. And it is something I think is so true. And, you know, we should, you know, as we consider, you know, everything that happens, you know, kind of on the global stage, you know, so many of the things that we do have, you know, a bigger impact than just what happens in our community. You know, there's that ripple effect that our vote we take, you know, the vote we cast, you know, that we drop in our drop box. We just got mine in my community. I'm going to be so happy that we have it back. You know, or, you know, the vote we take in our clerk's office, you know, on election day, you know, it doesn't just impact our school board, our local representation, our, you know, governor, our, you know, senators, you know, our elected officials that are impacting our state. It does really have that impact on the country and on the world, because we're thinking about these big issues, and climate is really at the forefront when we think about the issues. There couldn't be a bigger issue than what is happening with the planet. So I think this is a great discussion to think that, yeah, I mean, what's happening in Wisconsin could absolutely have a big impact on what's happening globally. And to think about, you know, voters and, you know, voters all over Wisconsin, you know, folks in Wausau and Westby could be, you know, really determining what's going to be happening with China when it comes to their willingness to play nice or not, when it comes to setting really ambitious targets to address climate change moving forward.
And if it seems far-fetched, it seems less so now because of the Dobbs decision, that people really started to understand better that you're not just voting for a presidential candidate because you'd like to have a beer with them, but that there are long-term impacts, that there are justices who were appointed from presidential elections nearly a generation ago who could work as they did to repeal women's reproductive health care rights. And it's a reminder that who you vote for president matters on so many different levels, including an international level when it comes to climate. But here's the thing that the New York Times wrote about it that I thought I'm going to start with the frustrating slash amusing part of it, which I think we say a lot about when it comes to Donald Trump. Donald Trump's spokesperson said that no one believes Kamala Harris is tough enough to get Beijing to lower their emissions, and that Trump would reduce U.S. emissions, quote, while standing up to communist China. But Trump is also the guy who has mocked climate change, and he is all about drill, baby, drill, and producing more fossil fuels than ever before. So he's hardly the one that's going to say, I'm going to stand up to China when it comes to emissions better than Kamala Harris, when we already know what kind of an example he would set for China if he were to win.
Right. And I mean, and also if we look at the track record, we've not seen Donald Trump, you know, stand up to world leaders that are doing the wrong thing. We've seen him do quite the opposite. So I don't think we have any faith that he would be able to take a strong position of advocating for what is the right path, based on his obvious, you know, past statements, you know, about drill, baby, drill, him mocking climate change, his Project 2025 agenda that would, you know, completely turn back the clock on all of the progress we have made on climate change. So just, you know, based on his policy positions and also from the way we have seen him operate when he had the opportunity to engage with world leaders, we haven't seen him take a strong position of advocating for, you know, really what is the right thing when it comes to moving our country forward and moving forward, you know, moving our planet forward on the right thing. When he had the opportunity to do the right thing on climate at the international level, he withdrew the United States from the Paris Climate Accord. So, you know, I don't think that his track record of engaging with global leaders on climate gives us any reason to believe that he would be a strong advocate for climate and hold any other global leaders accountable for their actions on climate either.
Exactly. Now, let's take a look at it from a China standpoint and why it's important for a U.S. president to be able to, you know, negotiate with China. For the past couple of decades, it's been the world's biggest source of greenhouse gases because its economy was expanding, you know, exponentially. And now it appears to be on the verge of hitting what's called an emissions plateau, meaning it's kind of at peak fossil fuel emissions. But already, China's saying, now, nobody's going to badger us, nobody's going to boss us around, but on their own, they are already moving toward replacing coal. Last year alone, according to the Times, China installed more solar panels than the U.S. has in its entire history, and connected most of those panels to the grid. So China knows that there is this problem. But again, when you see the U.S. as an adversary and the U.S. sees China as an adversary, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to war, but it does mean you have to be able to have this give and take with each other to try to help each other reduce emissions, because both of these monster countries have to reduce their emissions to stave off the worst effects of the climate. And like it or not, Melissa, anybody who's advocating for lower emissions globally has to hope that these two adversaries can, on this one issue, try to find some common ground.
Exactly. And, you know, I'll also, you know, you mentioned the sheer number of solar panels that China installed last year. You know, the same article also points out that almost two-thirds of the, you know, large wind and solar plants under construction globally are in China. And, you know, it's significantly more capacity. It says more than 8 times the wind and solar capacity being planned in the United States. So, you know, this is really an opportunity to move forward with expanding capacity, is by, you know, looking to see what's going on there, and by really having those conversations, encouraging China to continue on that path of, you know, moving forward. I mean, this is a very rapid speed at which they are progressing to replace, you know, their dirty sources of energy and replace that fossil fuel. So with wind and solar, and we need to be able to have a president who is able to have those serious conversations with China, to ensure that they, you know, keep that pace, that they
keep that up, essentially
keep that pressure on
and,
them.
And
yeah.
Encourage each other. Right. Because if instead they see the United States as, you know, doing all the things that Trump wants to do, frankly, the things that Trump did do in his first term, where he got rid of all kinds of environmental regulations, and he's promised to undo everything that the Biden-Harris administration has done when it comes to environmental regulations. If China sees that, then they're going to see this economic threat, because if the U.S. is moving forward in a way that they think is going to give them some kind of an edge on manufacturing, well, they're going to put all the solar and wind projects on hold, and they're going to go right back to firing up the factories to, you know, produce as many widgets as it takes to keep up with the U.S. And that just puts everything into kind of a doom spiral here. So that's how, again, bringing it back to the Wisconsin voter shows there's some real global impact here. And all you got to do is, like I said, look at what Trump did in his first term, Melissa. There is nothing climate friendly in what Trump did during his term.
The other real risk of a, you know, another term of Donald Trump being president is if, you know, he were to remove, you know, the United States from the Paris Agreement again, that really leaves a leadership vacuum there. And, you know, China may opt to fill aid. And I think that is something that, you know, there could be some real concern about.
Oh, my goodness. You're absolutely right. I mean, I've been setting up those whole scenario that China would just like, well, okay, then it's off to the races. We'll drill, baby, drill too. But no, you're right. They could go the way that says, well, we will be a global leader in reducing emissions. And by showing that kind of global leadership, what I think Trump and others are, you know, underestimating is now they're forging relationships with some of these other countries that starts with renewable energy, but maybe moves into things that are more, military and more, trade deals and other things that could work against U.S. leadership in the global economy, because mm-hmm. you've got somebody like Donald Trump who essentially abdicates American leadership, global leadership in this highly important issue.
Absolutely. It's just, you know, one of the many examples of Donald Trump, not being fit for the office he is seeking, that he doesn't understand the seriousness of this issue, the urgency of this issue, and the reasons why it is so important for the United States to be a leader, a global leader on this issue. Not only can we not have the president of the United States mocking climate change and, blocking progress on this issue, we need the United States to be a leader globally on this issue. It is an economic issue. It is a health and safety issue. It is a public safety issue. You know, this is an economic security issue. This is anything you can think of. This touches every aspect of our lives. And it is incredibly important that the president of the United States is leading on climate change.
And not spreading misinformation like wind turbines causing cancer, or wind turbines are making whales crazy, or that, you know, solar power will leave older Americans without air conditioning. And don't even get us started on the electric boat motors and the sharks. My God, I cannot believe these are the things we talk about in 2024. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds great.
I'm really glad that we recorded that with Melissa before the debate. I initially thought, let's use our climate check to play back the answers to any climate questions. And I've listened back. It was one of the last questions before the closing statements. And Vice President Harris gave a very thorough answer on manufacturing, on the rise in America. And Donald Trump said nothing about climate. It was all gibberish about Biden family conspiracies. And would not have been, frankly, that useful. We'll do today's history lesson with Melissa Kay coming up next. You're up north.
Kind of a drag when your baby don't love you.
Today's history lesson begins with a happy birthday to Dennis Stefano, lead singer of the Buckinghams. He was born this day in 1946, so that'd make him 78 years old today. Might play the Buckinghams' other big hit later, Don't You Care. And if you say, hey, Don't You Care and Kind of a Drag, aren't they basically the same song? Yeah, welcome to 1960s pop. If something works, change the lyrics, change a little something and make it again. The Buckinghams has a very British-sounding name, Melissa Kay, but they're from Chicago. Their original, the band's original name was the Pulsations, but the record company wanted a British sounding name because of the whole British invasion thing. So, you know, they couldn't go with, you know, the Ditkas or something like that.
Hi, my name is Dennis. We're the Buckinghams. Free deep dish pizza with every ticket bought.
Real British deep dish pizza. Melissa, how are you?
Like you, Pat, I'm a little tired. Last night was a treat.
Yeah, we were up. These debates are just not convenient for us.
I got to go to a watch party.
Oh, you were at a watch party.
I was, and it was interesting to hear some of the local response.
Yeah, so there were more than 200 watch parties organized around the state by the Harris Walz people, mm-hmm. and people were definitely in a different frame of mind than they were in the last debate. Yes. It was very much like that. How are things at WFHR, WIRI in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids?
We just had another wonderful, we have our team meetings in person. I know across the network, we have to meet by Zoom, but mm-hmm. our team gets together in person and it's so awesome. We have the best meetings.
Aren't they in-person meetings?
They are.
I tell people that I watch TMZ, it's usually one of the last things I watch, and they go, oh, why do you watch that trashy Hollywood stuff? Part of it is it's kind of funny, but part of it is that it's the whole premise of it is they're all meeting in the newsroom there talking about their stories. Mm-hmm. And it looked so much like our story meetings at Channel 13, 2 o'clock every afternoon, in that, yeah, you're covering the news, you're sharing the stories, but my gosh, you are laughing. You are having sharing the latest gossip, the camaraderie. Yeah. And I wish everybody could get workplaces like that.
Yeah, we're talking about fun things coming up at our station, and I'm talking with some artists. I can't.
She's putting her hands together
yet.
Like she's scheming. Oh, like, I'm gonna rub my hands together.
I'm excited about things to come. Tune in for the Kitchens Open next week on Monday at 9 o'clock. It's gonna be awesome.
Melissa Kay, woman of mystery. getting back to the history lesson, Tommy Shaw of Styx. This is a big one for him. No, it's not. Last year he was 70. I didn't do the math right. He's 71. Tommy Shaw. Here's Styx now.
All right. You're not the only one who's tired.
Yeah, right? As I'm looking up Tommy Shaw information, I've mentioned a couple of times I'm a regular guest on WCPT in Chicago, Joan Esposito's show. And I see this note about Tommy Shaw, how she and Joan Esposito were dating in like the early 80s or late 70s, something like that. I'm like, I need to know more about this. I'm turning the tables, Joan, next time I'm on your show, just so you know. I have so many questions. Taraji P. Henson is 54 today. Grateful Dead drummer Mickey Hart is 81. And as mentioned earlier, happy birthday to Harry Connick Jr., who turns 57 today.
It had to be you. It had to be you.
This is from When Harry Met Sally. And at the risk of offending a lot of people, When Harry Met Sally, good movie. Not on my top 10 list. You know, it's fine. It's a perfectly fine movie. Other people who just like go crazy for it and like, nah, I don't see it. I don't know.
But Meg Ryan is just great.
Meg Ryan's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
I love them both.
Did you see it in the theater? You know. Did you see it like later on?
I see everything later.
I think that has something to do with it. When you see a movie after the thing.
So here's the thing with Meg Ryan rom-coms. My all-time favorite is Sleepless in Seattle with her and Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. That one I did see right away in the theater. So it did make an impression on me.
I'm a You Got Mail girl. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You are.
I love that movie.
Happy 47th birthday to Christopher Bridges. You know him better as Ludacris.
Too fast. And yes, it's the clean version.
Yes. Some people's ears perked up right away, like, wait, what? Charles Kelly from Lady A is 43 today. The Beatles, so we mentioned yesterday, having the number one album this day in 66. They had the number one album this day in 1965. Here's the title track.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
Happy birthday to the oldest major speedway in the world. That would be the Milwaukee Mile in West Allis. The first race was held this day in 1903. And finally, this day in 1982, which was the year I graduated high school. And when people go, what was like the big thing back then? It was this little number from Frank Zappa. Oh my God, like gag me with a spoon.
That's his daughter Moon.
Oh my God, yeah, that's his daughter Moon unit.
Yep.
Did I tell you that's the year I was born?
No, you didn't need to tell us that at all.
I was four.
Hey!
Yeah, so.
We love you, Pat.
The fact of the matter is, this was how people were talking back then.
Yeah.
Turn it up a little bit.
So many
of the rest of us were like, why are you talking like this?
You should check out their interview on Letterman. They did together both Moon and Frank talking about this song.
Oh, I believe it. I don't miss that. All right. So you had a great staff meeting. And
yeah.
Anything else we should look forward to?
I'm going to drop you a little teaser. Do you know that there is a school classroom in our district here in Wood County area that has 1-to-1 3D printers for their students?
One to one 3D printers?
1-to-1. So tune in for my story, Melissa, Community Stories with Melissa Kay, my new show coming up. Debut date not yet to be announced because I still have some work to do. But you will find out where that classroom is.
But it's coming.
It's coming.
And consider yourself teased. All right. This is also, by the way, National Make Your Bed Day. This is National Hot Cross Buns Day. And it's Libraries Remember Day. So remember, go to the library. They play a key role in the preservation of a free society.
We have wonderful libraries.
We really do. Melissa, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too, guys.
Good to talk to you. When we come back in our second hour, Congressman Mark Pocan will be along to talk about the threat of, once again, a potential government shutdown with just weeks to go before a big election. Whose bright idea was that?